From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. We often tackle big, hard problems on this show. I mean, it's called Problem Solvers. That is what we should do. But I want to start today by telling you about a very small problem that a guy named Greg Clunas had.
I hadn't been to the gym in maybe 6 months. Like I was stressed out. I just never felt I had the time. And so I was dealing with all these things.
And Greg wanted to get back in shape and he wanted to just feel better. And so he did something very, very small. This is not going to blow your mind here, but take a listen.
And the way that I started to get myself back into it was just buying new shoes on Amazon, new running shoes.
I told you, not mind-blowing, but Greg is the host of a podcast called Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, and he has a book by the same name. And his whole philosophy is about how really small steps can lead to, well, big changes. And I had been thinking a lot about a version of this myself. I wrote about it in my column in the April-May issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, and it was about how most people, I feel like when they're stuck on something, when they don't know how to move forward, the problem is that they're trying to anticipate all the steps ahead instead of doing what they should be doing, which is just moving. That moving, that taking one tiny little step, just buying shoes on Amazon, is actually so important and yet so overlooked. And so on this episode of Problem Solvers, I want to do two things. One, I want to read you that column, which came out of a conversation that I had with an entrepreneur who was stuck. And then I want to play you a conversation that I have with Greg about this very issue, about the importance of taking these steps. So first, my column all about my six-step philosophy to success. And then after that, Greg's tiny steps philosophy. It's steps and steps here on Problem Solvers, and we're going to get into it all right after the break. Entrepreneurs need to be good listeners. We listen to our customers, to our team, and to the world around us. And as we're on the go, there's also no better way to feel engaged than to listen to inspiring voices and compelling stories. And there is no better place to start listening to these great stories than Audible. Audible delivers bestsellers, business, self-improvement, memoirs, and more, all professionally narrated by actors, authors, and motivational superstars. And now, Audible members get more than ever. Members can choose 3 titles every month. That's 1 audiobook plus 2 Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. And they have unlimited access to more than 100 audio-guided fitness and meditation programs. And here's my personal recommendation on where to start. Check out The Third Door by my friend Alex Benayan. It chronicles the extreme lengths that he went to go in order to get in front of the world's most successful people and learn their secrets. It's a lot of fun and a lot of problem solving. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial, and your first audiobook plus 2 Audible originals are free. Visit audible.com/problem solvers or text problem solvers to 500-500. Again, that is audible.com/problem solvers or text problem solvers to 500-500. All right, we're back. So like I said, I started thinking a lot about the importance of taking first steps because I just keep meeting these people who really desire to be entrepreneurs or at the very first stages of it, and they're just stuck. They're stuck somewhere. They're stuck at the very, very beginning. And I started to think, well, how can I articulate what it means to get unstuck? And the way that you can move without knowing exactly where it is that you're going, how can you tell someone to be comfortable with that? It is a scary thing. And so I wrote this column, and it advocates for a 6-step concept, 6 steps to success. And I want to read it to you now, and then we're going to have the conversation with Greg. So, okay, so first, here is my philosophy on 6 steps from the magazine. You are 6 steps away from your goal. So am I. So is everyone. And I mean it. Regardless of our circumstances, career paths, or past accomplishments, we are all 6 steps away. But here's the kicker. We can never see more than 1 step ahead. This is a little mental trick I came up with recently as a way to help a friend of mine. He's stuck in his career, working a job he hates, but unsure of what to do next. How do I know what direction to move in? He asked me. Should it be music, which is his first love, or tech, which he's interested in, or content production, which he's developed a knack for? He's been asking me this for months, but because he can't decide which step to take, he's instead taken no step at all. He's stayed in place. And so, in effect, he's chosen to continue being miserable at his current job. Now, we've all suffered some version of this, haven't we? We've become paralyzed by opportunity. We fantasize about making a change, but fear that our fantasy won't match reality. It is a torturous kind of paradox. We become trapped by our own escape plan. And as I grasped for a way to help my friend, I reflected upon how zigzagging my own path was. I moved between jobs that seemed unrelated to each other. There's no way I could have planned it all out. Literally nobody, including myself, would have once predicted I'd be running a magazine called Entrepreneur, and yet the result is undeniable. I'm happy and fulfilled, and yet at the same time, still have much more I want to accomplish. And that's when it hit me. Nobody can see the pathway ahead of them. We're all blind, but the people who succeed are the ones willing to walk in the dark anyway. And so I developed my theory of the six steps. It goes like this. Whatever you're doing right now, let's call it step one. And you are desperate to know where step six is because that's your goal. You think of step six as ultimate happiness, the end of the path, the big payoff, the place of glory. But where is it? You can't see it. Is it over there to your left, a little bit to your right? You don't know. And so you feel frozen at step one, fearful that your next move could be the wrong one, that it could move you away from step six. But look closer. You actually can see something ahead. You can see one step ahead. That's all you get. You can see step two. And is step two amazing and perfect and satisfying? Nah, maybe it's an entry-level job or a better but not perfect job or a minimum viable product you could put out into the world or the launch of a company you don't know will succeed or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just step two. It's not supposed to be perfect. So you take step two and you learn from step two. You discover more about yourself and your path and what you want and what you love. And then lo and behold, you can see one step ahead again. Now you can see step three. You couldn't have seen step three back at step one, but now you see it because you'd moved to step two. So you take the next step and you repeat. And if you keep going, you'll eventually reach step six and discover that step six isn't actually the ultimate goal anyway, because there is no ultimate goal. That's why Jeff Bezos didn't declare victory when Amazon became the world's biggest company, or why Oprah wasn't content hosting a hit daytime talk show. As we progress, new achievements seem possible. New goals take shape. Step six, it turns out, is actually just the beginning of a new path. This is how we move. This is how we succeed. We do it one step at a time, learning and growing along the way, sure of nothing except the power of progress. Don't know what direction to go in? Just pick one. Do it. Step. Move. Right now, you'll learn so much, including which step to take next. See you at step six, which is to say, see you at step one. Okay, so that was the column, and it's gotten amazing feedback from people who I think are feeling that stuckness, and I hope that this just shoved them just a little bit. And yet, I realize, of course, that it also leaves quite a lot of questions open. How do you find the motivation to take those steps? How do you put yourself into the mindset of being a step taker? That is really where Greg comes in, which is why I'm excited to now have this conversation. Because Greg Clunas, again, his show is called Tiny Steps, Big Leaps, is all about pushing people towards that process and getting them to really invest in it. So Greg, I often meet so many people who are standing at the starting line and seem to feel like they need some other kind of preparation before they just start moving. And the thing that I want to get them to is this place where they just are moving.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me that this is such a massive, massive issue for people. Because one of the things that I'm really fortunate of is that growing up, I was always taught if you have an idea, you just sort of go. So that's sort of built into part of who I am and has always been a part of my personality. But I've been thinking more and more about why people are getting stuck here. And not only is it this whole concept that you've brought up of, hey, I don't know what the steps look like and I can't see what the path looks like, but it's really the underlying fear that comes from that, right? It's you aren't sure what's going to come and what is ahead of you and what the journey looks like. And so you're afraid to take any steps simply because you're not sure what the steps look like. And to your point, if you just took the first step and started working through it, then the third step would become clear as you're in the second step. So it's kind of this counterproductive activity of being fearful of the future because you don't know what it is. But if you just started taking action, you would know what it is.
You know, we're both using the word steps. You have affixed tiny to it, which I really like. I mean, I think that what you're doing, and I sort of say this so that you'll tell me what you're doing. I think what you're doing is you're trying to make the taking of the step as not scary as possible.
Exactly.
That you don't have to make some kind of giant change, giant leap in order to start some momentum. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's my big thing. Every single result you have in your life, whether it's related to your business or some other area of your life, is directly tied to the actions you took at some point in the past. The bigger the result, the longer those actions sort of need to build up. And so my whole thing is, if you aren't taking any actions, then you're just sort of getting whatever life throws at you. It's just whatever's handed to you, the scraps of everyone else, that's sort of what is ending up on your plate. If you choose the actions you take every day, then you have some control of what direction it goes in. Now, you're not going to get everything you want, but you have some control. So, okay, starting from that thesis, if we know that the big problem is just getting people to take some kind of action, how do we make that as easy as possible to do? Well, what if instead of believing that in order to accomplish XYZ goal, they had to go on this long journey and make all these big changes and blah, 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 blah. What if they just believed that they just had to do something for 5 minutes? What if all they had to focus on in this initial moment was what is the very next thing you can do? And no matter how small it is, you still do it. Well, what I've found is that when you frame it that way, and really this is a framing problem, it's looking at it as this big, massive thing that you need to, I always use the analogy of the mountain. So you're looking at a mountain and you're thinking, how the heck am I going to get up there? But if you then zoom in and you just look at the ledge right in front of you and you go to that and you just keep doing that over and over again, eventually you're at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, you have to, when you take even a tiny step, what you're doing, and well, I guess you say, when you take a tiny step and you don't fall on your face, you don't fall through the floor, you prove to yourself that the step was worthwhile and possible and not nearly as scary, and that reinforces that the next step can happen. You know, I was thinking when you were speaking earlier about how this was something that had come more natural to you. I don't know that it came natural to me necessarily, but a thing that I had done is just tried stuff out. And I remember like the very first time, my very first job, I quit my job and I freelanced because I just had the sense that that was going to get me somewhere. And the stakes felt low because I wasn't making that much money at the job to begin with. I was living in like rural Massachusetts. The rent was low. And so I did it and it worked out. And that really empowered me to take risks throughout my career. Like I had done this one thing when the stakes were fairly low. I learned that taking a step like that can pay off. And then it pushed me to do it forever.
Yeah. And there's this other factor there that I think doesn't get as much conversation as it should, in that we tend to take actions that align in some way with how we identify. And so if you've never taken any sort of risks as it relates to your career or any other area of your life, you do not identify as the type of person who does that. You don't take risks. You take the safe path, and you're not sitting there having this conversation with yourself, but subconsciously you don't identify as a risk taker in this area. The minute that you do it, you start to gain some of that identity. The longer you do it for, you gain even more of the identity. And now it becomes easier throughout the rest of your life to take risks because you identify as the person who does that. Similar to if somebody is a marathon runner, they are going to run marathons. It doesn't matter if they get injured, they're going to heal up and they're going to get back on it. It's not difficult for them to get out and train, or it might still be difficult, but it's not something that they're going to choose not to do. Because it's a part of who they are. They can't break that identity because they've been doing it for however long. And so if you can gain that identity of the type of person you're trying to become, that helps you with taking the actions that align with that identity.
Yeah, that's a really powerful idea. I really love that. Actually, and the running thing is a great metaphor, right? I do not identify as a runner. On the occasions where I am running and I hit my first wall where I feel like I'm out of breath, I just stop because I think, I'm not a runner anyway, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, but if I did think of myself as a runner, I would just push through. My dad thinks of himself as a runner. He's running Ironman. And I'm sure he also runs into shortness of breath and challenges, but he's...
Absolutely.
First of all, he's trained, but he's also just mentally, this is something he identifies with and therefore he's able to keep going. So my follow-up question then is, how do you develop a different identity?
So this is the catch-22 situation, because it stands to reason, and there's been research to back this up, that if you tend to act in accordance with your identity, then you also tend to identify in accordance with your actions. And so this is why your six-step approach is so incredibly valuable, because in order to gain the identity, you need to start taking some kind of action. Like, you need to start moving. You need to take that first step, even though you can't see the rest of it. Once you do that, you start to gain a little bit of the identity of this type of person. And then it becomes easier to take the third step. And purely from an emotional and a buy-in point of view, it becomes easier to take the rest of the steps. And so the reason I approach things from a Tiny Leaps point of view is that if you are trying to start a business, if your approach to life is, I want to become an entrepreneur, I want to approach solving problems the way an entrepreneur might, great. But if you've never done that, you don't have the identity. So how do you do that? Well, you could sit down and read all the books and make a business plan and do XYZ, and that might be fine. Or you could take 5 minutes and try to sell something to somebody. Either of those options will get you to start taking the action and will give you a little bit of the identity. If you only have 5 minutes in your life because you're just so busy, you're a single mother raising 3 kids, working 2 jobs, and you have no space for yourself, you've only got 5 minutes, then maybe you just try and sell a pen to somebody, and that starts to give you a little bit of the identity. It's not going to be much, but it might be enough to get you to the next step.
Hmm. Have you gone through that process yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I routinely, and this is the issue with identity, is it unless you actually build it into your life for a long period of time, it tends to wane a little bit. But I routinely fall off of my goals as it relates to fitness, goals as it relates to nutrition. And the things that get me back on and where this concept came from is always when I find the smallest thing that I can do to start getting back to it. And so I remember once about a year ago, I hadn't been to the gym in maybe 6 months. Like I was stressed out. I just never felt I had the time. And so I was dealing with all these things. And the way that I started to get myself back into it was just buying new shoes on Amazon, new running shoes. And that was the first step. It was just to start gaining this identity of, I'm going to go back to the gym. So I bought it. They came. As soon as they came, I took them out of the box, and the next day I did not go to the gym. But then the day after that, I did go to the gym. And because I had done this initial action, it became easier to take the second action, which is get out of my house, which then created the third action, which was keep going, which then created the fourth action, which was great. Now start this other routine. And now I'm consistent at the gym again.
Hmm. It is. I wanted to end by asking you to provide some kind of homework, something that somebody can finish this podcast and immediately go do. And I feel like you just offered the answer there, which is to identify something very, very small that is maybe in the general direction of the thing that you want to do, and just do it, just to try it on, to start to shift the way that you're thinking about the task and of yourself.
Yeah, and I would add on to that, if you are struggling to find, because one of the biggest issues of people who listen to my podcast is that they just don't have the time. They want to do something, but they just cannot find the time. What I would suggest you do is not to discount the tiny stuff. Like, the reason the show and my brand and everything I'm doing is wrapped into this tiny leaps methodology is because small changes over time create massive, massive changes. You think of like the dominoes. You can have a small domino on the end, a very large domino all the way down. And over time and building up the momentum, and it's building one domino in front of it that's slightly bigger than the last, all of a sudden you're knocking over this massive domino. So don't discount the things you can do in 2 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, any of those like moments in your day that aren't currently accounted for because you're walking down the hallway at work between the kitchen and your desk, or you're using the bathroom, or you just woke up and so nothing's really started yet. Like, whatever moments you have, try to squeeze it in there, because right now you can't think, oh, how am I going to find the time for this? But you don't need to worry about that yet. As Jason mentioned, the second step will become clear once you take the first. And so take that first tiny step. And once you start gaining a little bit of that identity, all of a sudden it'll become easier to fit that time in somewhere.
Greg, that's perfect. Thank you so much for joining me on this.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there it is. Six steps, tiny steps. Thank you to Greg. I hope that at the end of this, you are motivated to whatever it is, whatever direction it is, to just take some step and see where it takes you. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeiffer.com, JasonFeiffer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.